Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Life Science Rush Hour with Matt Corcoran. I hope everyone's having a great start to September. It's been a little while since I've last done a podcast, so I apologize. But I'm excited to be back talking to everyone, let you know what I've been up to, and maybe a little bit of what we can talk about in the future. So last week, I was in Boston for, I believe, the second or third annual Boston Biotech Week. A really good event. There was a ton of events up there. I got to as many as I could, and learned a lot, met a lot of great people. So why am I going to talk about that? Well, obviously a lot of established companies were up there, but my kind of focus was the mid-cap and startups, that I wanted to really spend some time with and learn more about. What they're going through, the struggles they have, the challenges, and and how maybe I can add some value to make their life a little easier, so they can concentrate on the science and just as importantly, raising funds, so they have enough money to go out and execute on their plans and develop their product. So on Thursday, I spent all day at the RESI conference, which is essentially a venue for private companies to get in front of investors. There's a dedicated partnering. They must have had 40 tables there where companies that are on the verge of maybe going commercial or going to a phase two trial or phase three, or maybe even phase one, but there's been some validation of the science. We're able to meet with investors. They also had an interesting wrinkle at this event that they haven't had before, is where they had even earlier stage companies that are really trying to create proof of concept, more on the avenues of looking for seed or angel investors. So a good mix of companies. And of course, why they're there is the biggest issue that most of these companies of size have is, hey, we need more money. So that's what they're all trying to do, raise money. Ironically, where my booth was, I was sitting in between two companies that had or were about to close a funding round. So they had registered for this event some time ago and in the meantime had secured funding. So great for them. But as we all know, even when you have funding, it's so important to think about your next round of funding, because it's always good to have those investors lined up. You don't want to wait, because then you don't necessarily have the leverage. So what do I tell these companies? I mean, I'm an insurance guy. How can I help them? Well, first of all, I don't want to get in their way. They're there to raise money, not talk about insurance. But what can we do from an insurance perspective to help put them in a better position to secure funding? A recurring theme, especially on the device side, is that all these companies have patents. And investors want to know the scope of the patent, how strong is the patent? And one thing I talk about a lot with these companies is insuring the patents. You can have the best law firms, you can have create and operate, you can have pretty much done everything the right way. But that does not mean that, some third party can't say, hey, you infringed upon my patent, or going the other way, another company tries to infringe on your patent. What the patent insurance does, it helps provide those legal expenses to protect yourselves, so you have the financial resources to defend yourself, and to be able to go and say to an investor and says, we have these patents, we have this, but we also have it insured. So if we're infringed upon, your money won't be going to protecting this patent. That's going to go to the insurance company. So it helps differentiate these companies a little bit and gives them, a little bit more something to say, when they're talking to investors. So that resonates very well. The other thing that we obviously talk about when it comes to investors is D&O insurance. I'm not going to talk really too much about that, but it is so important to have the D&O insurance. If you don't have investors, you'll want to start thinking about D&O insurance as you're kind of onboarding them, because they're going to want it. D&O insurance protects the personal assets of directors and officers. That includes you as an owner if you're sued, assuming you're a director, director or officer of the company. So again, that's more mainstream. Every broker is going to talk to you about. And finally, the other thing I always stress with these companies is being proactive. I know insurance isn't something people want to really think about or deal with, but it's so important to talk to your broker beforehand, before you sign contracts. And a great example is I was talking to a prospect. They asked, you know, they were talking about products liability. They're about to go into the clinic. No revenue, phase one, low what I call, you know, a pretty low hazard product from an insurance standpoint. One of their sites required them to carry a $10 million clinical trial liability, 15 patients, and they signed it before they talked to their broker. I mean, $10 million is a huge limit, especially for the study and the patient count they were doing. And I understand why they did it. You need time is money, and money is time. So it's, you have to move fast. But something like that is so quick and so easy for most brokers who deal in life science to say, hey, time out. $10 million is way too much. Go back to them, negotiate it out. I can get on the phone sometimes, with my client and the site, insurance person or risk manager, to explain, hey, this is the study. $10 million seems a little much. We can show benchmarking that refutes that. And usually the sites understand it and get it. But the sites, from their angle, they want to get as much protection as they possibly can. So they're going to ask for the moon and, see what sticks. So a lot of times insurance is bought reactionary for these early stage companies. And for certain coverages like general liability, that's fine. But once we get into the clinical trials and D&O and patents, if you're going to go down that line, it's so important to be proactive versus reactionary, because when you do things in a hurry and you don't run those by brokers, you could end up spending a lot more on insurance than you should or even need to. So those are my two cents. I got a lot more out of Boston Biotech Week that I will, I'm sure, touch on in future podcasts. But I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode and past episodes. Your feedback is always welcomed and appreciated, good, bad, indifferent. Love to hear from you. You can reach me via email, Matt, M-A-T-T, at mattcork.com, M-A-T-T-C-O-R-C.com. You can follow me on Twitter, MXC390, my blog, mattcork.com. Any way you prefer, love to hear from you. And, I post these on Facebook page and Twitter. Feel free to comment there as well. And we will talk to you soon. Thanks, and have a wonderful day.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.